Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome back to another episode of Before My Time. I am your host, Gelsey Laurie, and we are joined, as always, by our co-host, producer, and friend, Matt Kelly. And we are going to talk about our top five favorite Eddie Murphy sketches on Saturday Night Live. Let's do it.
To entertain you, we'll sing your songs for good times, the best times. You can't go wrong. We'll two-step, a new step. It won't be long when the Dixielands are playing. Soon you'll be swaying. So come on, sing along.
All right, Gelsey, we're not talking about Eddie Murphy for really any particular reason. There's no anniversary or anything. Over a year ago, we did an SNL episode, and we're like, we're going to do many more of these, and then we haven't done any. So
I got distracted with the oldie-timesy Hollywood pictures.
Yeah, but Eddie Murphy, obviously we both know Eddie Murphy, the actor. My exposure to Eddie Murphy, the SNL cast member, is kind of fairly limited to like best of compilations and a few other things. But I did a lot of digging. Yeah, I dug around to see if there was anything I may have missed that did make it on those compilation videos. And it didn't. It seemed like they really captured like the moments of his career.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because it's like there's some part of my brain that even forgets he was a cast member. Like, we talked about it on our SNL. We focused more on the first 5 years of our SNL episode, which is a great episode. You should go check it out. But, you know, this is more kind of got him to his start, but he very quickly took off, very quickly went to Hollywood and became the film star that everyone knows him as. And kind of that's where my brain always goes back and goes to Trading Places, Beverly Hills Cop, Coming to America. Like, that's how we know him. But it's just like SNL was with, you know, that jumping platform.
Yeah. And I think that it's easy to forget that, like, not only did he very quickly jump into being an actor, in a lot of ways, Eddie Murphy saved Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Like Saturday Night Live was very close to being that show that you remember from the 70s that ran for like 6 or 7 seasons. But like, things that people who want to complain about the current cast of SNL should really dip their toe into that like 1970 or like 1981 cast that like they fired the entire cast after 1 year, and it was like one of the only seasons without Lorne Michaels at the helm. Like, it's dark
Lauren
days
left. Yeah, once Lauren left, because I mean, it's his show. It is still his show. It's such.
Yeah.
It and once he was kind of walked away, yeah, it really was going to be tanked hard. And I just want to side note, anyone that says they complain about the current cast, and I feel like the last at least 10 years, I hear people go, SNL wasn't what it was. And everyone misses the Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry, you know, whatever, the kind of 90s at least. That's what I grew up with starting it. And I just think everyone's partial to their cast, where I could say my parents are going, yeah, but there's no Gilda Radner. There's no. So it's, you know, to me, though, anyone that says that, I'm like, do you watch it, though? And they go, well, no. And I'm like, then you can't have your two cents of, because the cast right now is brilliant and they've got some fantastic writers. So I just want to put out there, I'm a diehard SNL watcher.
Look, and I also think that there has never been a. You will never find a season of SNL that doesn't have some real stinker sketches in them.
They have to. Even, I mean, that's comedy in general. Any of your favorite stand-up comedians, if you're watching their Netflix special, they've toured the entire season with that show, and they don't film their first city to put on Netflix. They do the whole tour, and then they film one of their last cities, so they've refined it. So they've bombed in some business, in some cities. Some jokes have not landed, and you're only getting that final product. And so it's like SNL's being pumped out every single week. And like you said, it's just some things are going to hit and some things aren't. And sometimes the things that they think this is stupid, this is a throwaway, are the sketches that blow up and everyone gets obsessed with.
Yeah, no one, I don't think anyone on SNL, I'm sure they thought the cowbell sketch was funny. I don't think any of the people in that sketch would have thought that 20 something years later it would still be this like iconic quote it
pop
thing.
Culture type. Yeah, exactly. And so it's kind of like, even I was just talking to a friend, so we're going on a little rant, but with like social media, TikTok, Instagram, be it, you know, it's, I have a pretty active Instagram account, and if you want to follow me, you can. But it's, I get a little gung-ho on the quality of video, and it's like, is this creative enough? Is this funny? Is this cool? And I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's just about the content being pumped out.
Yeah.
And when you have that high quantity of content, you have to, some things are going to be shitty. And I'm like, sometimes my reels are going to be kind of dumb and suck, but some are going to pop off and get 6 million views like a few did. And it's just, you never know. So you just have to put it out there. And that's literally what Saturday Night Live is somewhat doing. Yeah. I mean, they have much better content, like, but it's, to do it weekly, that many sketches, that is a lot.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because now we're just pumping out shit. But anyways, Eddie Murphy, who does not pump Eddie out Murphy. Shit, he's pumped out gold,
so,
specifically on SNL.
So let's see. I predict more than even Aerosmith, there will be some overlap. So in order to
avoid... Yeah, we're doing a top five, by the way, in case
we
didn't
doing a top
say that we're doing top five.
They saw the name of the episode sketches. When they hit
okay,
play.
Okay, I just, you know, we didn't say it. We normally do bands top five and our favorite songs. I think this is one of, aside from maybe the Twilight Zone episode, this is one of the only other top five not music
not music
so far. So I'm excited.
I'll go first this time because I feel like last time I kept stealing your thunder with all with the placements of Aerosmith songs on my list, and you barely got to talk. My number five might be a controversial one to put at five, as when I was doing research on this, I saw almost across the board every list put this as the end-all, be-all greatest sketch that Eddie Murphy's ever done. And I like it. I get that it's an important sketch. I get that it's a funny sketch. But I think that the four that I put above it are the ones that really make me laugh out loud, where this one is more of a social commentary. And that is the White Like Me sketch, where he gets put into whiteface and roams the city of New York
to see how different
it is.
Yeah, yeah. And he's all, just take it. No one's around.
Yeah,
take
just
it.
Take it.
I think my favorite is the bus, when they all just start serving cocktails and dancing.
It is a brilliant idea, but it's also one of the rare, I mean, I guess it's not that rare because they did it all the way back in the John Belushi days, but it was almost like a mini movie that they played. It wasn't a sketch performed on stage. It was something that they filmed beforehand.
Pre-filmed, yeah, which we see a lot now, but then it wasn't as predominant as we do see now.
Yeah, that was my number five. I know that there's some people who are probably already screaming at their phones that that's too low. For that one, I think that I've seen that on many lists of not even just Eddie Murphy, SNL in general being like one of the most like groundbreaking and important. But you know what? I'm going for the ha-has today. And
I am too. Honestly, the things that I did pick a couple that are just like I couldn't not have them on my list, and I had to pick at least one sketch of his iconic characters. But specifically, I think I'm going to go with, I just switched what my number five is, should be higher than five, but just because of whatever. But yes, I'm going for the ha-has as well. Love. Number five, I'm going in with Family in the Attic.
I don't even think I know Family in the Attic.
I had never actually seen it before because I'd seen a lot of Eddie Murphy stuff. And I was, talk about the ha-has. It's in season 9. It was 1984. That's right. I'm bringing in seasons and years. Whoa, top that.
I did not research that much.
That's okay. No, it doesn't. You know me. So it starts with a Dutch couple and they're old and they're sitting in their house and it's like a Dutch couple has hid a Jewish family up in their attic and they're sitting there and they're, oh, remember the war 40 years ago? And they're trying to do Dutch accents. And even as they're talking, there's a little subtitle that says, like, just so you know, this is a Dutch accent because they're just like totally doing like a shitty job. That made me laugh so hard. I was like dying. They're kind of like, oh, remember 40 years ago during the war when we hid that Jewish couple or family up in the attic? And he's like, yeah, I wonder what they're doing. You let them out, right? No, I thought you let them out. And so they go and they run up and there's this old Jewish family up in the attic. And nothing makes me laugh harder than Eddie Murphy playing an old Jewish man. Like, it's one of my, and he does it all the time. Like,
he does it a shocking amount of times.
I didn't realize how much he did it. And obviously, me being an old Jewish man myself, nothing gets me to ha-ha more. And so it's Eddie Murphy sitting there and there's two fully grown, like one woman, she still has pigtails, but she's like 50. I think she even says like, I'm 55, but she was like a child when they got hit and they're like, is the Gestapo here? And they're like, hi, no, we're just checking on you. And he's like, and Eddie Murphy does this whole like, the Dutch couple feels terrible. So like, should we get you food? You haven't eaten. I haven't eaten in 40 years, but sure, why not? You should bring me food. And so she runs down and brings up this tray and he sits and he opens it. And he goes, ugh, chicken. I mean, I'm not complaining. Okay, I'll take it. And like just plays into this whole kind of martyr, just typical Jewish, like, and he takes a bite. And it's just the funniest thing. And the young girl who's now in her 50s is like, all over the Dutch man just because she's like, I'm horny. And she's like, my body has been going through so many changes. And so eventually they end up, I think she's like, oh, you don't want chicken? I'll bring you eggs. And she brings up the eggs and Eddie Murphy opens it. And he goes, ugh, eggs. Like, they're scrambled. It's fine. I'll eat it. It's fine. I'll eat the eggs. Like, and I was laughing so hard. And then the Dutch couple go, wait, we hear them, the Gestapo. And they run out and they're like, let's leave them in there forever. I don't want to deal with them. So I highly, when we're done with this, you'll have to watch it. It was so.
I'm definitely gonna have to check that track that
funny.
Down.
Yeah.
All right. So my number four, I don't know why. In my soul, based on the type of person you are, I feel like this is on your list a little bit higher. It weirdly might be the Eddie Murphy sketch that I quote the most, which is the Fifth Beatle.
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh my God. Eddie Murphy claims to be the Fifth Beatle that got cut out of the band before they were a huge hit. And he's like, I was the saxophone player on the early Beatles songs. And they're like, well, I don't remember there being a saxophone in those songs. He's like, that's because they cut me out, man. He's like, I wrote all the songs. They cut everything out. And he's like, I even have old demo tapes. And it'll like hit play and it'll be like, Love Me Do. But there's just a sax just playing over top of it.
Oh, my God.
And I remember he's like, he talks about how he wrote all the hits, but they changed it. He's like, I love you She Loves You was called She Loves You Man. It's a Ticket to Ride was called She's Got a Ticket to Ride and the Bitch Don't Care, Man. it's so funny. He's bringing out the photos and it's like these badly photoshopped pictures of like famous Beatles moments, but with Eddie Murphy just standing there with a saxophone in his hands. It's phenomenal. But yeah, that was one that because the joke is like, he'll play some of the old demos of, you know, like, again, I love Me Do or whatever, but every once in a while, you'll just hear him go, man. So it'll be like, so shake it up, baby, man. Twist that shit. Like, it's just, it's absurd. It's absurdism at its best, but that's one of my favorites. And I'll say this much. Figuring out four and five was a lot easier than figuring out what order I wanted to put the top three, because I think they're all phenomenal.
I know. I'm literally staring at my list going, should I rethink this whole thing? Because one of my honorable mentions even, I'm like, maybe that honorable mention I should throw in four and just take out one of the, well, duh, you put that one on there kind of a thing.
You know, like, what? Sometimes like the duh you put them on there deserve to be there, but...
That's all right. True. All right, I'll keep it as it is. I'll keep it as it is. Right. And we just know that there's kind of no ranking. Like, who are we joking? We just love them all. This is just an excuse for us to talk about Eddie Murphy's SNL. All right, so then I'll go. This is going for the ha-has. I'm going to say number four is probably not even a full sketch. It's an advert, and I'm going to throw it to one of his most notable characters. You're probably going to be like, stop, is his buckwheat.
Yeah, I mean... I'll let you talk about the advert because I do have buckwheat, but I have a different element of buckwheat.
I didn't actually put like a whole sketch, and there's so many, and they're so funny, but this one I laughed. I don't know why it made me ha-ha.
Is it the CD?
No, it's the jeans. Oh. It's the buckwheat jeans, and he's laying down in like a full side, and they're like going up the leg, like the jeans. Are they this jeans? No. Are they these kind of jeans? No. And it's that sexy voice, and then it's him sitting. He goes, Ote, and he's just like, and then the next shot is him leaned over in his ass, and there's an Ote etched it or like in the jeans, and I laughed so hard, Matt. I was like, this is not even a full sketch. This isn't even doing justice of everything he's done with Bugwee. And I was like, this is going on my list because it made me laugh so hard.
I mean, all of those, I'll save my thoughts for later on with the fullness of the buckwheat stuff. But like, yeah, like even the Buckwheat Sings CD is like so funny. Like Unstice, Fee Times a Lady. It's so brilliant. That might be the most iconic character he ever played.
Yeah. And that's why it's crazy that I'm like putting it at four, but I just am, just because it was such a short one. But yeah.
So my number three, when I first started building this list in my head, my number three, I was like, this is definitely my number one. There's no competition. And then the more I thought about it, it dropped down a couple slots. Mostly because it's such a one-note joke, which is kind of what's so funny about it, but it's also so short. James Brown's Celebrity Hot Tub.
Wait, that's my number two.
All right. We'll hold. I'll hold.
I was going to flip it because I'm putting one of his most iconic things in three, but... Well, I like have a dual tie. There's two James Browns that I was like, I'm just going to talk about them both. We'll hold because it just made me laugh so hard again.
It's
we're just
so
going
good.
The ha-ha. Yeah. So,
all right. Yeah, so let's hear your number three then.
I feel like my number three is going to be your number two. It's Gumby, damn it.
No, Gumby, damn it, did not make it anywhere. Not even on my honorable mentions. I don't know what it is. I never enjoyed the Gumby sketches.
Oh God, I love the Gumby, and the one that
you
I think
love
I
old
love
Jewish
most,
voice
but
Eddie
that's
Murphy.
Yeah, I was like Eddie Murphy being old Jewish Gumby. Like, it's so funny to me. My dad actually dressed up like Gumby. There was this big like mayor's ball they did every year in the city I grew up in. They don't do it anymore. I don't know. And there would be these tables that you would buy out for the fundraiser, and so. My parents were part of a table and you dress up. There's different themes every year, this, that. And so they were at the Saturday Night Live table. So my mom dressed up as Rosanna and Adana and my dad dressed up as Gumby. So we always had this giant, like, just like what he wore, Gumby costume in my house. It's amazing.
I love that.
So I love Gumby and I love Gumby making a movie about his life. That's my favorite Gumby sketch. Because it comes in, you got Gumby like... going into the agency and you're like, wait, it's a Gumby sketch, but it's not Eddie Murphy Gumby. What's going on? And so he does this whole thing and I'm Gumby. I'm going to make it this, that. And cut. What are you doing? Damn it. And he's just directing and trying to, but it's the way he's portraying. Like, I just love not only the old Jewish has-been star, but it's the, I am Hollywood. I am entertainment. Damn it. Like, I rule this town kind of a energy. And even in that, like, it's in the movie when he's making it. He says, damn it. I forget what cast member is playing the Gumby in the movie. And he's like, why did you say damn it? Damn it. And he's like, well, I just thought it'd be more authentic. Say, I do not say damn it. I never say damn it. All right, let's play. Damn it. Or like whatever. And it just, it's that kind of just complete denial of who he actually is and what he is and being like, no, that's not what I do. This is what I am. And I think it's so funny. I actually know so many people like that. So I love Gumby. And then there is another sketch that he does. It's like the David Letterman show. And he's on the David Letterman show. And so he's releasing a blooper reel. It's – what did he call it? It's like Gumby – I forget what the title is. But they show actual footage of
like the cartoon,
from the Gumby claymation, which I used to watch as a kid all the time. I had a little Gumby toy and a Pokey, but he voices over for Gumby to like say, and I almost was like, this one might win, but I just love the making of the movie. But that one's hilarious too. Yeah.
All right. So my number two, and then we'll talk James Brown a little bit more. My number two is, it's hard to pick which one, but I think I know which one I'm going to do. Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
It's my number one.
The one. Okay. Well, then let's talk James Brown for a little bit.
All right. Aha! Got you back for that Aerosmith episode.
Yeah. So yeah, the James Brown celebrity hot tub.
God, like, I laughed.
It's so dumb.
Hard. That's why I had to put it number two. It's so dumb, but it's so my sense of humor. Just the coming out and wow, get in the hot tub. Oh, it's hot. And when he like,
if I'm at a hot tub, I'm like, hot in the hot tub. Get me wet.
My favorite, though, is like he like drops the robe to get in and then does the classic like James Brown down to his knee. And the guy comes up and puts another robe on him as he's like getting and then pretends to leave the stage. It's hot.
Dude, he sings Gonna Get in the Hot Tub for like a minute. And then he puts his toe in, just his big toe, screams. And then the lyrics change to, it's too hot in the hot tub. Burn my flesh.
Well, and that's what I also love when he does James Brown on Speaking Freely. And he's like, hello, we're, you know, joining me tonight for Speaking Freely. We have James Brown. He wants to speak about the political movement that he's part of, this, that. And all he does is basically the same thing where he's just like singing James Brown song lyrics. I mean, like, you don't feel good. No, but good. That's all he does. And it's so funny to me.
And credit to the band that's playing as his backup is absolutely killing it.
I do agree. It's just too good. And it has that, he's, you know, it's funny, it's just like everything, it's kind of a side note, but on an Eddie Murphy note, it's everything he does is so Eddie Murphy. And obviously he's so talented in the films we come to know and love him almost more in that decade of the 80s. He still always is kind of, oh, you know, man, da-da. Like, I don't know, he's always very Eddie Murphy. But
yeah,
on SNL, it just like you get this range. And I think this, it says something for every cast member, is that, you know, once you go to films, you're a lot more conduced to your stereotype that you have to play.
Yeah.
Rachel Dratch's book talks about this a lot, how she's like, you know, in Hollywood, I can either be a lesbian or a troll. And on SNL, I could be anybody. I could be the princess. I could be the man. I could be the, you know, and it's just this kind of reality check of like, oh, shit, but it's true. And it's, so I think it's like a really cool thing and awesome that when, because it's sketch comedy, every player that you have on there, you really get to see their full range. Whereas like Eddie Murphy's never going to play an old Jewish man in a movie.
No.
Like, that's just never going to happen. I guess like Nutty Professor, we kind of get like a good,
I was going to say, every once in a while when he's playing like 40 characters, but you would never have him in the starring role playing an old Jewish man.
Exactly. Like, and it's like, it's fun to get to see him do, even his James Brown is just like, he might have moments in a film, but if he's, you know, in Beverly Hills Cop, he's still him. And, or I don't know. It's just, I just love going back and watching all of these different sketches and just seeing this huge Rolodex of his talent. Because we're so used to the Eddie we know and love.
Yeah. All right. So my number one, you did make a reference to Buckwheat earlier. I just went with the Buckwheat saga, which like that ongoing who shot Buckwheat storyline.
When you said you had something, I was like, it's going to be the who shot. Like,
it's so, America, it's Morris. So good. And it was like how long they stretched it out, the amount of times they played it back. Like, let's play it one more time. Like, I even, again, one of those like weird things that you start to quote is the footage of him getting shot. There's the voice in the background. It's just like, hey, Buckwheat. Like, right before, like, I think about just that all the time. But yeah, it's so good. It's such a ridiculous concept. And yes, yeah, so you said America mourns.
I love that. Yeah. America mourns.
And then, Buckwheat. You know, it goes into the subplot of the person who they're pretty sure shot Buckwheat, and they're like doing the interviews and it's also played by Eddie Murphy, like the lone gunman. They're interviewing the people in town. They're like, he was so sweet. He was nice. He was very charitable. They're like, do you think he killed Buckwheat? Oh, absolutely. That's all he ever talked about. So it was just best. It's actually one of the few sketches from this time period where I'm like, I actually feel like the coverage of mass tragedies is even more relatable. Like, that skit is almost more relevant in the like Seriously. Sensationalized way that we cover that stuff than ever before. So
yeah,
that's my number one. That thing is an absolute comedic masterpiece. But yes, Mr. Robertson, we got to talk about it. Like,
I think that's probably his best, like most well known. I would say on SNL. I mean, that's what it's. Let's just start with saying it's fucking hilarious.
Dude, the amount of times that I just yell "Who it?" Like,
that was really good, Matt. Did not expect.
I do
that
it a lot. If someone knocks on my door, I still do that. If I know it's
and
a
it
friend
is.
Coming
it's
over,
it's that like nice, friendly kid front, or you know, kid. It's and it's. I grew up with Mr. Rogers, and so it's like watching this. It's just the whole concept. Actually, I read that Mr. Rogers was, you know, he was always flattered when people did impersonations or made fun, but he also. Did have a problem with this because he's like, it's not just parents watching, kids are hearing this too. And so subliminally they're getting these messages from this kind of, hey, boys and girls. And he's like, that's not good because Mr. Rogers is a saint. But I think my favorite episode, watch this, season 9, 1983, is when the word of the day, it's the babies episode. And he's like, boys and girls, that brings us to our word of the day, bastard. And he gets the baby in the basket. And he's like, what smells like sour milk?
They're all so good though. Every time that I find another Mr. Robertson sketch, it's more funny than the previous one. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, that is, if you're doing anything, Eddie Murphy, even outside of SNL, and that's not somewhere in your top five, like, greatest Eddie Murphy characters, you're crazy. Because you're right, it's that he nails the Mr. Rogers-ness of it, but also the absurdity of it. We'll go to a quick commercial, and then we'll come back for honorable mentions for the outro.
Look at you.
Hi friends, the world got you down? Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
All right, Kelsey, what sketches were on your honorable mentions that you didn't get to?
All right, I've got four. I'm going to start with Space Shuttle. And okay. It's aboard the Space Shuttle in orbit. An astronaut, who's Eddie Murphy, admits his love for his shuttle mate, Joe
Piscopo.
Piscopo. Oh, my God. I read that and I was like, I know that's not it. Who's hilarious, by the way. He's so great. It's very underrated, in my opinion.
I will say this. One of my two honorable mentions I put on there because I'm like, Eddie's really not that funny in it. It is the Joe Piscopo show
He's
on this sketch.
Great. Oh, my God. He's actually in most of my honorable mentions as well. And I was really blown away with him because it's, you know, not someone we think of that much when we think of.
I think him and Eddie works really well together.
You can tell their chemistry is great. And it's they're aboard a space shuttle and they're talking to NASA in black and white. Like, hey, OK, we're up in orbit. Da, da, da. And it goes off and it's just Eddie and Joe sitting there, and Eddie goes, excuse me, sir. And he's like, yes, Lieutenant, or this, that. He goes, I just wanted to let you know I love you. And he's like, I'm sorry. Like, you love me like a friend? Or he's like, no, I love you, sir. I'm in love with you. And he's like, you love me like I like Kellogg's. Like, you know, trying to, you know. And so he just like blatantly just sits there stone cold, just confesses his love to him. And he's like, I'm very uncomfortable with this. Like, what? No, this, that. And so then the other two teammates come in and he's like, hey, why don't you tell everyone what you said? You know, he's trying to, he's like, we're all a team. Tell him what you said. And he's like, that Houston's trying to call in 5 minutes and we should have the X. And he's like, no, come on, tell him you love me. And he's like, sir, totally plays it off like he does it. And they're like, he loves you like we love Kellogg's, and kind of repeats, or like the state of Arkansas. I forget what they say. And he's like, no, he loves me. You know, it just makes him look like a fool. And so then Houston comes back on, is like, oh, we want a video. The press is here. We want a video. Oh, okay. And so goes back to the kind of black and white footage, and Eddie Murphy, they're like, oh, get in for a photo, boys. And Eddie puts his arms around Joe and gets real close to him. Because now it's like only, and it just, the timing of everything, and even the way Eddie Murphy just kind of I love you. Like, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, he's. I'll bump in with one of mine to bounce off of that, because I'm pretty sure this is going to be on your honorable mentions list as well. I wrote down it as the Ebony and Ivory skit, but the one where there's Stevie Wonder and Frank Sinatra.
I didn't put that one down. There's so many good ones. No.
I put that one down because Joe Piscopo's Frank Sinatra is so fucking good. Funny. And like, there's, and that's the thing. That's why I put on the honorable mentions. I think it's an amazing sketch, but I think it's because of a lot of Piscopo's lines. Just the things he says where he goes, you know, when I think of Ebony, I think of a magazine that most people don't read. And when I think of Ivory, I think of a soap that floats. He just nails that like douchiness that you kind of secretly know Frank Sinatra probably was.
Has.
Yeah, so.
Oh, gosh.
Perfect. Perfect sketch.
One of mine, these are in no order. I like how we're just still, it's like basically top five. I'm like, I'm basically giving my top 10. There's a Weekend Update excerpt where they're like, oh, so Eddie, you got a new apartment. Tell us about it. And he's like, yeah, yeah, I'm in a, you know, 20-story high rise up in Staten Island. And he goes, you know, I was with my cat, though. You ever heard that saying that cats always land on their feet? And it kind of goes, and he's like, well, I was sitting there and I thought, well, let's see if that theory is true. So I threw my cat out the window. And didn't really go so well. And they're like, oh, my God, you threw your cat out the window. And he's like, well, then I was looking around and you ever heard that saying that a fish always lands on their feet? And you're kind of going, and so he's just talking about how he threw all his animals out the window. And you're like, at first it like wasn't funny because I was like, oh, my God, this is horrible. And he's just so, again, stone cold about it. And he's like, well, then I see my dog and, you know, it's my fish has made a nice little target for me to throw the dog out. Throws the dog out. And then he's like, well, now I'm sitting there and I'm all alone, but I realize I have a parrot. And you might think, Eddie, parrots fly. Or I think that's what the guy says. He's like, but can't parrots fly? And he's like, not if their wings are clipped. So I threw him out the window. Like, it's just like, it's the stupidest, most like, oh, my God. But by the end of it, I was dying laughing. I'll do another Ballet for the Blind.
I don't know this one.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Joe Piscopo come in and there's like an auditorium and he's like, oh, I hate these things. She's like, come on, we have a subscription to tickets. It'll be great. It's the ballet. And the curtains open and it's Eddie Murphy. They're doing the Nutcracker and one of the other girls and just terrible dancers. And just seeing him in a full male tights, everything, and just on his tippy toes, just flaunting around the stage, I was dying laughing. And he's like, this is terrible. And so she goes in for like a big leap or a big catch where he's going to catch her. And she just completely misses and goes right in front of him, slams on the floor. And they just keep going. Another guy comes out. They try to toss her from one guy to the next. They just keep missing each other. And he's like, we have to stop this. Like, they're blind. This is. And she's like, come on, they're blind. Like, this is great. Like, I'm really enjoying this. And he's like, this is terrible. We have to help him. We have to stop. And so he stops. He's like, whoa, whoa, wait, stop, stop, stop. And he's like, we have to stop this. Like, you guys, look, you're doing your best effort, but this is crazy and this, that. And Eddie Murphy comes forward and he's like, what's wrong? You don't like our dancing? And he's like, well, no, it's just, I mean, you guys are like hurting each other. You're blind. This guy, he goes, we're not blind. And he's like, but isn't this the ballet for the blind? He goes, yes, it's for the blind. You're all blind. And all of the audience, he's like, are you all enjoying it? And they all lift up their canes and they're all, yeah. And he's just like, and he's like, don't ruin it for us. And so then they continue. And it's just so silly and simple, but it was really funny. Gave me a good high.
I love that. All right. The only other honorable mention I had written down was Little Richard Simmons' workout video.
do not think I've seen that.
He plays a perfect combination of Little Richard and Richard Simmons. So it's a workout video and it's, you know, a bunch of people standing there and he comes out and he's doing a pitch perfect Richard Simmons voice where he's like, all right, everybody, it's time to get in shape. We're going to sweat to the oldies. But then he sings all of the songs. He's like, all right, we're going to go. And ready, set, go, fat, go. I know a girl whose butt hangs low. She's flabby. it's just that. Like, the meanest little songs.
There were a lot of sketches that I was like, man, only the early
80s. Only the early 80s
SNL. They could not do any of that, like him in Whiteface or the... It's just so much that I was like, I just don't think that they can get away with this.
But you know what?
It's so funny.
My perspective on it is, especially with this sketch, I think that the joke is more, in my eyes anyway, the joke is more the absurdity of those types of workout tapes to begin with, where it's like, we're going to dance to old 50s records and we're going to lose 60 pounds.
Shut up, Matt. That's what I did this morning. That was my workout.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, you're most people's goal weight already, so I don't think that that's quite the same.
I have to maintain it. Dancing to records is Little Richard. Leave me alone. It gets my endorphins up. It's not just about weight loss. It's about serotonin and not, yeah. Yes.
I've literally considered looking to see if someone's uploaded the sweating to the oldies on YouTube and like just doing it along with it one day. Like,
it's basically, yeah, jumping around and just little like bouncing movement. That's basically what I do at Disneyland. And I literally burn like 1,000 calories. It's so hard. And then you had, yeah. Anyways. Okay. My final honorable mention is the sketch Oscar statues when they all are dressed as Oscar statues. Have you seen this one?
No. Man, oh, God. I don't know anything.
It's so funny. It's like Joe Piscopo, Julie Louise Dreyfus, Eddie Murphy, and I forget who the fourth one is. And they're all like standing there and they're like, all right, next up. And they're like, oh, what statue are you? And he's like, psh. Because Joe Piscopo's like, you know what I am. He's like, I'm best picture. And they're like, what are you? And he's like, oh, I'm best editing for a foreign film documentary, this, that. And they're all like, you know, it's all like who they are. And then I think it's Eddie Murphy's like best actress. Like, oh, you could go home with all the ladies. And he's like, I've been with this person, that actress, this. And he's like, and they have these like stands. And so when they walk to each other, their feet, they have to like shuffle. And it's the funniest thing. It's so funny. And then it ends up that Joe Piscopo is like actually lying. And they're like, next up, best trainer for dogs and monkeys in movies. And then they're like, and the winner is blah, blah, blah. And he starts, he's like, I need to go to the bathroom and move. And they're like, wait, are you the award for best dog and monkey trainer? And he's like, yeah, I am. And they're like, it's okay. Like, we're all equal. And you go. And someone had to train those monkeys so well. And he's like, you're right. And so he goes off the stage. And then they all start, like, laughing at him. They're like,
I love those ensemble cast sketches where they're like, how can we get every single cast member in here for like, a sketch? And I think I've referenced it before, but the all of the superheroes having a dinner party is like one of my all-time favorites from the classic era where like John Belushi's Hulk and Chevy Chase's Superman or whatever. And I just always remember Ant-Man being like, hey, check this guy out, Superman. He can shrink to an ant and he's as strong as a human. Kelsey, if there's any sketches that we didn't mention, where can people go and let us know that we have just ruined their day by not talking about one of their favorites?
Yeah, let us know that you have completely had your day ruined by us on Instagram. You can find us at @beforemytime_podcast or on Facebook. Just search Before My Time and we will pop up right on our wall. Send us a message, comment on a post, send us a DM, you know, just connect with us in some way, letting us know how much of an uproar you're in. And also, if you wouldn't mind just leaving us a quick review while you're here, if you have the time, it would be greatly appreciated. Just like we greatly appreciate each and every one of you for listening every week. Hope to see you next week and have a glorious day. Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.